So tonight we're going to begin a new series that's going to lead us toward Jerusalem on Easter. We're going to explore different encounters with Jesus on the way. Tonight I'm going to talk about an encounter that talks about the stain. On Sunday I mentioned that I have a black thumb and it's easy for me to kill any plant I have in my care. I have another foible that my kids like to make fun of me about, and that is I have the ability to get a stain on my shirt no matter what I do to keep it from happening. In fact, my kids used to make bets as to what time during the meal that stain would show up. So I've taken the habit of carrying with me one of those little pens tied to go. You're familiar with those? And what I've discovered is sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And invariably, the time when I need it to work most, it never does. But I want to talk about the stain tonight. Listen for the word of the Lord from Mark, the gospel according to Mark from the 7th chapter. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with unclean, that is, ceremonially unwashed hands. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they had come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" And he replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teaching are but rules taught by men.' And you have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might have otherwise received from me is korban,' that is, a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And you do many other things like that." And again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." And after he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he asked them, "Are you so dull?" That's my life verse. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach and then out of his body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean." He went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of man's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evil come from the inside and make a man unclean." What this text is talking about are the cleanliness laws. It said you don't get to touch a dead animal or an infectious disease or contact with mildew or bodily discharge or eating meat from the wrong animal, because if you do, you are ritually impure. You are unclean. You are stained. And you couldn't enter the temple, you couldn't worship with the community of God's people. So you had to wash yourselves. Its intention was good. A visual aid to enable people to recognize that they were spiritually and morally unclean, that they were stained, and couldn't enter into God's presence without some kind of purification. Where Jesus and the religious leaders of the day disagree is the source of that stain. Jesus says the problem is not on the outside, but it's on the inside. The real stain is on the human heart. And that's what needs cleansing. Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote at one point, "The line between good and evil passes not through states, nor between classes, nor between political parties either, but right through every human heart and through all human hearts." The Bible message is not that the world is divided into the good guys and the bad guys. As much as we like to do that, we like to identify people and say, well, you guys are good and you guys are bad. You guys are the white hats and you guys are the black hats. What the Bible says is that we all have a part to play in making the world the broken place that it is. We all feel the impact of the stain, and we all cause the impact of the stain in other people's lives. And the stain is on the inside of us, not on the outside. Our culture and even our religion has a tendency to tell us the way to cleanse that stain is to do something on the outside. But outside in doesn't work. Most of us try to cleanse ourselves in one way or another. We may try to hide from it, which is what I do when I have a stain on my shirt. You know, okay, I'll wear a tie so I don't have to, I can cover that up. I hate wearing ties. But I'll do it if I have to cover that up. Sometimes we deal with the stain by hiding, or we deal with the stain by doing good deeds. We just live a good life. We say, I'm going to work hard at doing things right. I'm going to be a good person. Or we just try to live right all the time. And so we're very cautious and careful about how we interact with people. And the result of that is that we're not authentic, we're not real, we're not genuine, we don't really present who we are. We wear a mask. And we pretend that there is no stain. It doesn't work. The prophet Jeremiah put it this way: although you wash yourself with soda and use an abundance of soap, the stain of your guilt is still before me, declares the sovereign Lord. Jesus says we need an inside-out cleansing. The message of Jesus is that through his life, death, resurrection, ascension, and his coming again, that he has accomplished this cleansing for us. And this cleansing is ours by faith. Rebecca read earlier from 2 Corinthians 5, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Another way of putting that is, he who had no stain became the very essence of stain for our sake, so that we might be cleansed from that stain. Hebrews 13 says that Jesus was crucified outside the gate where bodies are burned, the garbage heap, a place of absolute uncleanness, so that we might be made clean. The cross of Christ and his resurrection is the only way to be cleansed. That's what brings us here tonight. God clothed Jesus in our sin. He took on our stain so that we might be cleansed, healed, clothed in fine linen, bright and clean, without stain. And he gives that to us so that we might wear it day in and day out to the end of time. Tonight, we gather in this place and we actually take a stain upon ourselves, the sign of the cross, as a reminder of what God has accomplished through him for us. It's not just to make us feel bad. It's to make us recognize what God has done for us. I invite you to take a few moments of silent reflection to contemplate how God has offered you a cleansing that is deep, transformative, and ultimately permanent. Go before the Lord for about a minute. So in a moment, I'm going to invite you to come forward and receive the sign of the cross in ashes on your forehead. Ashes are used for two reasons. One, it's a reminder that we are created from the dust, and to dust we will return. It has to do with our mortality. To recognize that God alone is immortal. And whatever life we have because he grants it to us. Secondly, throughout the Old Testament in particular, ashes are used as a sign of repentance. And so it's a sign that, yes, Lord, we're coming to you with a repentant heart, wanting to move into new life with new power and new joy, recognizing that there's stuff within us, stain, that needs to be removed. And then thirdly, the ashes are imposed with the sign of the cross as a reminder to us that it is through the cross of Christ that God defeats death and the devil and all of his works, and that we give ourselves to the Lord of life rather than one who brings death. Almighty God, you've created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant to us that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality and our repentance, that we may remember that it is only by your gracious gift that we are given everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.